Chapter 37. Crowd, the villain Godoy misrepresented us to him. Throw out the Prince of Peace. Fernando, he is not here, my friends. Crowd, then the king shall announce to us that he has dismissed him. Let us see him. The king, the king. Fernando goes in. King Carlos comes out reluctantly and bows to their cheering. He produces a paper with a trembling hand. King, reading, as it is the wish of the people, crowd, speak up, your majesty. King, more loudly, as it is the wish of the people, I release Don Manuel Godoy, Prince of Peace, from the posts of Generalissimo of the Army, and Grand Admiral of the Fleet, and give him leave to withdraw whither he pleases. Crowd, huzzah. King, citizens, tomorrow the decree is to be posted in Madrid. Crowd, huzzah. Long life to the king, and death to Godoy. King Carlos disappears from the balcony, and the populace, still increasing in numbers, look towards Godoy's mansion, as if deliberating how to attack it. Godoy retreats from the window into the room, and gazing round him starts. A pale, worn, but placid lady, in a somber though elegant robe, stands here in the gloom. She is Theresa of Bourbon, the Princess of Peace.
Princess, it is only your unhappy wife, Manuel. She will not hurt you.
Godoy, shrugging his shoulders.
Nor will they hurt you. Why did you not stay in the royal palace? You would have been more comfortable there.
Princess, I don't recognize why you should specially value my comfort. You have saved your real wives. How can it matter what happens to your titular one?
Godoy, much, dear. I always play fair. But it being your blessed privilege not to need my saving, I was left free to practice it on those who did.
Mob heard approaching.
Would that I were in no more danger than you.
Princess, puff.
He again peers out. His guard of hussars stands firmly in front of the mansion, but the lifeguards from the adjoining barracks, who have joined the people, endeavor to break the hussars of Godoy. A shot is fired, Godoy's guard yields, and the gate and door are battered in. Crowd, without,
murder him! Murder him! Death to Manuel Godoy!
They are heard rushing onto the court and house.
Princess, go, I beseech you. You can do nothing for me, and I pray you to save yourself. The heap of mats in the lumber room will hide you.
Godoy hastes to a jib door concealed by sham bookshelves. Presses the spring of it, returns, kisses her, and then slips out. His wife sits down with her back against the jib door, and fans herself. She hears the crowd trampling up the stairs, but she does not move, and in a moment people burst in. The leaders are armed with stakes, daggers, and various improvised weapons, and some guards in undress appear with halberds.
First citizen, peering into the dim light, where is he? Murder him.
Noticing the princess.
Come, where is he?
Princess, the Prince of Peace is gone. I know not whither.
Second citizen, who is this lady?
Lifeguardsman, Manuel Godoy's princess.
Citizens, uncovering.
Princess, a thousand pardons grant us. You an injured wife and injured people we. Common misfortune makes us more than kin. No single hair of yours shall suffer harm.
The princess bows.
First citizen, but this, Sonora, is no place for you, for we mean mischief here. Yet first we'll grant safe conduct for you to the palace gates, or elsewhere, as you wish.
Princess, my wish is not. Do what you will with me.
But he's not here.
Several of them form an escort, and accompany her from the room, and out of the house. Those remaining, now a great throng, begin searching the room, and in bands invade other parts of the mansion.
Some citizens returning, it is no use searching. She said he was not here, and she's a woman of honor.
First citizen, dryly, she's his wife.
They begin knocking the furniture to pieces, tearing down the hangings, trampling on the musical instruments, and kicking holes through the paintings they have unhung from the walls. These, with clocks, vases, carvings, and other movables, they throw out of the window, till the chamber is a scene of utter wreck and desolation. In the rout a musical box is swept off a table, and starts playing a serenade as it falls on the floor. Enter the Count of Montijo.
Montijo, stop, friends, stop this. There is no sense in it, it shows but useless spite. I have much to say. The French ambassador, de Beauharnais, has come, and sought the king. And next Murat, with 30,000 men, half cavalry, is closing in upon our doomed Madrid. I know not what he means, this Bonaparte. He makes pretense to gain us Portugal, but what want we with her? 'Tis like as not his aims, to noose us vassals all to him. The king will abdicate, and shortly too, as those will live to see who live not long. We have saved our nation from the favorite, but who is going to save us from our friend?
The mob desists dubiously and goes out. The musical box upon the floor plays on, the taper burns to its socket, and the room becomes wrapped in the shades of night.
Scene 3, London. The Marchioness of Salisbury's,
a large reception room is disclosed, arranged for a conversation. It is an evening in summer following, and at present the chamber is empty and in gloom. At one end is an elaborate device, representing Britannia offering her assistance to Spain, and at the other a figure of time crowning the Spanish patriot's flag with laurel.
Spirit of the years, O clarionists of human welterings, relate how Europe's madding movement brings this easeful haunt into the path of palpitating things. Rumors,
chanting,
the Spanish king has bowed unto the fate which bade him abdicate. The sensual queen, whose passionate caprice has held her chambering with the Prince of Peace, and wrought the Bourbon's fall, holds to her love in all, and Bonaparte has ruled, that his and he henceforth displace the Bourbon dynasty.
2. The Spanish people, handled in such sort, as chattels of a court, dream dreams of England. Messengers are sent in secret to the assembled parliament, in faith that England's hand will stouten them to stand, and crown a cause which, hold they, bond and free must advocate enthusiastically.
Spirit of the years, so the will heaves through space, and molds the times, with mortals for its fingers. We shall see again men's passions, virtues, visions, crimes, obey resistlessly the purposive, unmotived, dominant thing which sways in brooding dark their wayfaring.
The reception room is lighted up, and the hostess comes in. There arrive ambassadors and their wives, the dukes and duchesses of Rutland and Somerset, the Marquis and Marchioness of Stafford, the Earls of Stair, Westmoreland, Gower Essex, Viscounts, and Viscountesses Cranley and Morpeth, Viscount Melbourne, Lord and Lady Kinnaird, Baron Darrell, Lady Charles Grenville, the Ladies Cavendish, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Hope, Mr. Gunning, Mrs. Fitzherbert, and many other notable personages. Lastly, she goes to the door, to welcome severally the Prince of Wales, the Princes of France, and the Princess Castelcicala.
Lady Salisbury, to the Prince of Wales, I am sorry to say, sir, that the Spanish patriots are not yet arrived. I doubt not, but that they have been delayed by their ignorance of the town, and will soon be here. Prince of Wales, no hurry whatever, my dear hostess. Gad, we've enough to talk about. I understand that the arrangement between our ministers and these noblemen will include the liberation of Spanish prisoners in this country, and the providing them with arms, to go back and fight for their independence. Lady Salisbury, it will be a blessed event if they do check the career of this infamous Corsican. I have just heard that that poor foreigner Gillet de la Chevrolière, who proposed to Mr. Fox to assassinate him, died a miserable death a few days ago, the bisetter probably by torture, though nobody knows. Really, one almost wishes Mr. Fox had. Oh, here they are.
Enter the Spanish Viscount de Madarosa, and Don Diego de la Vega. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.